it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's all for play for still.
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Hello, Villa fans, and welcome to For the Love of Paul McGrath podcast. Oh, my goodness. To the lad of your delight, I'm going to let you guys know I have a dose of some sort of a plague at the moment. And I might cough at any minute. So one of those minutes is right now. So hello, everybody. Paddy, what did you make of Brighton first?
Well, good evening to you too, Neil. What did I make of Brighton? Great weekend, ruined by the football. Back to the old days of that happening, but look, it was a tough one to take. It was a poor performance overall. Very bitterly disappointed with the performance on the pitch, but great weekend away for sure, and one I'll definitely do again.
Yeah, I'd love to have gone with you guys. Instead, I had to suffer like most people watching on TV. But excuse me, I'm going again, Paddy. Sorry, I've sort of a frog in my throat, and I've just been coughing like mad all afternoon. I don't know what the situation is, so I mightn't be very, very much use to anybody in this podcast. But hopefully, as I said, that nobody on the plane that went over from Birmingham today has what I've got today, because tomorrow is a really, really big game for Villa, and looks like that all things are pointed towards Emi Martínez starting tomorrow, Paddy, which I think we can all admit is brilliant. Albeit that Robin Olsen had a super game at the weekend.
Yeah, well, Robin Olsen was excellent at the weekend. He couldn't fault absolutely anything that he did. Just can't buy a bit of luck, manages to save a penalty, and of all the places for it to pop back up is straight up to the head for someone to head it in. And sure, what can you do? It's just one of those things. But he was absolutely excellent throughout the game. Really good performance for him. And look, we're... he's been good for a couple of games. I suppose my only criticism against Chelsea was I felt we played a lot deeper in the second half, and I was putting that down to him being in goal. But there was a game further back where he was excellent as well. So I've no problem with him. The problem I had at the weekend was that we couldn't play through that final line, and we'd nobody to pick that pass once Morgan Rodgers went off. So we've got to hope that one of them is... Both of them are back in play. Either Tielemans or I doubt Morgan Rodgers will be there, but I really think we're going to need someone like Tielemans who can pick that pass and really the split the defence, which we didn't have at the weekend.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like Tielemans has travelled to Athens. Well, I won't say it doesn't look like he's travelled. There were no pictures of him in the training gallery today, Paddy, when they released all those pictures of all the people training. And I thought that they would have made a big deal out of it if he was going to be fit. But to me, that means that he probably hasn't travelled, and looks like Morgan Rogers' season is probably over, for all intents and purposes, I would imagine. What do you think he does in that instance, Paddy? Is it McGinn for the forward and bring in maybe Tim?
Well, I think he has to do something. And like I know I've said in the past that Tim isn't ready. But this is a case of how do we go and win this game? And how we go and win this game is by playing our players in the best positions. And McGinn is someone who can pick that pass, who can split the defence, that we didn't see at the weekend when Rodgers went off. So we need to get someone in there that can do that job, and that is McGinn. And if it's taking a risk on Tim sitting a bit deeper, then look, it has to be done. I've no access. I can't bring up the comments there, Neil. I don't know. I'm on a new laptop here.
People are making reference to your AirPods Max that you've got on at the moment, Paddy. There's quite a lot of commentary on that at the minute. Excuse me. So Paddy's got a new laptop. We were setting it up. That's why we were a small bit late. So every word I said and every cough I made, I could hear back as loud in my ears as I could. When I made it. So Paddy needed to pop on some headphones there because there was a lot of feedback coming. We'll get it sorted for the next day, for sure. But I think, Paddy, that like there was obviously some good news, I think, from a squad morale point of view today. You know, somebody who is very much loved around, or not today, yesterday, somebody who's very much loved around the squad, Emi Buendia. He's back on the grass and he's back kicking ball and he's back doing team drills. Now, obviously, he's not going to be risked, I would imagine, in any game this season. But when you talk about somebody who can maybe take that ball,
pick a pass,
and pick a pass up there, wouldn't it be great to have him? But I suppose from a squad morale point of view, you know, any little thing like that, getting somebody back in that's been 272 days, I think he put up, that he's been out injured. You know, a lot of players are going to have a lot of joy in their heart to see him back on the pitch. And who knows what that kind of psychological kind of sight for a lot of those players will do for them, having him back in around there. But be interesting to see if he travels with the squad and is being integrated into the squad from that point of view. But obviously, he won't be available to play in Athens tomorrow night.
Yeah, well, he's obviously not registered in the squad, so there's nothing they can do there, even if he was fit enough to come back in. But as you say, he might be brought in there just for the fact that he's a good influence around the squad, just to keep morale as high as it could possibly be. So for lads to look around the room and pick out a man that's been out for 8 months, who's absolutely buzzing to get back, can do no harm to those that are in there. And look, he's like a fella who's chomping at the bit, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him back in there. And God, what we would give for someone with his ability to do a pick out a game changer tomorrow.
Well, he's lucky he doesn't have what I just have. No, all he had was an ACL. He's lucky, because if he had this coughing fit that I've got going on at this moment in time, and he was trying to do a podcast, he'd never be able to do it. But not many would, Paddy. Not many would. I literally can't get four words out of my mouth before I start coughing again. This must be a godsend for everyone in the podcast that says I don't shut up. So I'm trying, and that's why I'm rushing through my questions, Paddy. As quickly as I can. Look,
Paddy, yeah, I can't even call up the comments to talk about that while you're choking
I know, and some of them are so long I can't even go through them as well. But Paddy, there's an elephant in the room tomorrow, and you had a tweet about it during the week about Mr. Zweier, Felix Zweier, that's going to be the man in the middle tomorrow. Talk to us a small bit about that, because I've been digging on this all day today, and it's such a fascinating story. But go for it, Paddy.
Well, I did a bit of digging myself when my attention was turned to it. Now, the one thing I will say is I got a lot of stick on Twitter for mentioning it in the first place. And look, it had to be mentioned because it was going to be mentioned anyway. So we must add that he wasn't the referee in the match in question, but he did serve a six-month ban for taking I think it was only £250 or €300 is what he took.
He ratted your man out.
That's probably
for accepting a bribe, but not actually for anything to do with match fixing.
He probably got a less sentence for actually being the grass in the first place.
And that's so, probably why they hid his name for ages, you know.
Well, that's the thing as well. He was missing for 6 months. Nobody noticed him, and then one of the newspapers in Germany spotted it. Now, he has apparently had a really good career since that. Like, it's a lifetime ago. It's 18 years ago that this happened. And the one thing I will say, the only experience I have of this referee was, and my attention was drawn to it, but I can't believe when you put up something like that, 90,000 people look at your tweet, it's nuts. But there was one particular Celtic fan reminding me that he was the referee when Celtic played Atletico Madrid earlier in the season, which was a 2-2 draw. And he stood for absolutely none of the nonsense that Atletico Madrid normally throw at you. So if he's going to be that way tomorrow, because you can be sure at every opportunity, Olympiacos will be rolling around the floor, diving on the ground, killing time. They will be the absolute worst you can possibly put up with. So if we can, if he does that from the start, I think I will be absolutely fine with him. But it needed to be highlighted because it's a serious offence, obviously. I'm actually shocked that he's still refereeing, because if you look at all, like, if you did that in banking, you'd never work for a banking company again. If you did it in accountancy, all anything where things like this happen in normal run of the day jobs, you just don't get another job in that industry. So yeah, it's a strange one, but it's I'm okay with it having been reminded of the game that he took part in earlier in the season. So maybe that's why he was picked for this one, because he doesn't take any of the shit that can be thrown at you in these European games.
Yeah, and look, as you said, it's not like it happened today or yesterday. It happened years and years and years ago. Since then, he's gone on to become he was actually only allowed ref in the early stages of the DFB, the German Cup. at the time, and that was the level he was at. There was 6 months, he was out for 6 months. Then he refed his way up through Bundesliga 2 to the Bundesliga. He became a UEFA FIFA qualified ref, I think, or a UEFA qualified ref, I think, in 2012. And he's been refing at that level since. He is card happy, like, you know. You look through his even the games he's refereed this year, you know, he refereed Arsenal in the Champions League this year. He refereed Roma in the Champions League this year, and he just handed out cards like they were Smarties, you know. So like you said, Paddy, any messing and he's going to card you for it. So we'll see what the crack is tomorrow, as you say. It could be the one that we've given the most stick before the game that turns out to be the best one all year, you know. That would be just the turn up for the books that we probably expect with some of the drafts we've had refereeing us in Europe this season. But I know that West Ham fans weren't too complimentary of him. Was it 2 years ago? He sent off Aaron Cresswell.
Aaron Cresswell. It was last season, I think. Yeah.
It was last season, maybe.
It was a subjective decision. And I hate that phrase, and you've said it a couple of times. I listened to you on some podcast over the last couple of days, that if the referee gives it, it's not going to be overturned. I think that needs to be ruled out of the game, and people need to stop saying it, because that's what VAR is there for. That VAR was there last year, and probably Aaron Cresswell should have got a yellow card and the free kick stood fine. But look, they all make mistakes. We have to expect it when it comes to human error. But you had me frantically going back through the because I honestly couldn't remember who got booked last week. Do you remember how many bookings we had last Thursday?
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
No, but I've got this thing on my computer. It's called the internet.
No, I've got it. There's only one. It was Moussa Diaby. So he's the only one walking the tightrope. Obviously, if someone picks up two cards, they miss the final.
But he got booked for something silly. Oh, he got booked at the penalty. Yeah, he got booked for getting pushed into
the
box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolute ball ache of a referee. God's sake. How things could have been so much different going into this one. But anyway, there you go. It makes it a monumental challenge, and hopefully we can rise to it.
You know what? If my nose was playing in midfield tomorrow, we'd win handy because it is running at a rate of knots at the moment, whatever the hell has happened. It's definitely done 10K already and we're only on this podcast for the last 13 and a half, nearly 14 minutes. But that's where the reason, what a great segue for me in my little comedic moment. But I think that's really where the big focus point for Villa tomorrow is going to be. I know a lot of people will be talking about defense. Realistically speaking, your defense is in Unai Emery's system, your defense is only as good as how much effort they get. Not effort, but how much help they get in midfield. We didn't get that much help in midfield yesterday or last week, Paddy. We didn't get that much help in midfield at times against Brighton. You know, we couldn't go straight up the middle at all. We had to go wide, but other teams could come straight up the middle at us and play round the corner passes and triangulate their way, especially up the field with one touch passes. That for me it's a small bit of a worry because we were good at stopping that towards the course of this year, but that was something that we saw that this team had a bit of a frailty for under Steven Gerrard, and it was that partnership of Louise and McGinn that had that frailty, and it seems to be kind of rare in its head. Now, you know, two games isn't exactly a massive sample set, but that's how teams got at us under Gerrard, was just going straight up the gut against us, and it happened to some degree in against Olympiacos in Villa Park. But at the weekend, I think it was pretty apparent that they were going to go straight up the gut against us if they needed to Brighton and just pass around us, you know, in the middle of midfield. So I know that that's going to be something that Unai Emery is going to want to have sorted out. But like, what can we read? Like, we spoke about a player today, Paddy. You know, we won't mention him on the podcast, but somebody that we like to see coming into the club. Somebody that's been linked with the club previously. You said to me, he goes, Jesus, it would be great if we could have him in there tomorrow. Just somebody to come in and break up play. But like, what do we do in there, Paddy, is the question.
Well, that's the thing. I think it's probably time for Tim to step up. He's had enough opportunities. And if he can just keep that position and keep the solidity in there. McGinn, for all his brilliance, he just needs to be involved, and he just gets pulled and dragged, and that leaves an awful lot of space in there, and that's what I saw with my own eyes from behind the goal in the last two games. And that's not a slight on John McGinn. This is him playing out of position and not a position that we want him to be playing in. So I think we're going to need to attack, and we need to allow the two central defenders just do their job in there, and the four boys that we're going to have in attack, let them do their job, and whoever chooses to overlap, be that Dina, or if it is, I don't think it'll be Matty Cash, I think it'll probably be Ezri Konsa at right back, just a feeling that I have. And I just can't see any other way that we make this a more attacking side other than putting Tim in and move him again further on to cover where Rodgers was.
For anybody who's wondering what's happening in the semi-final of the Champions League, Joselu, former, if I'm not mistaken, is he a former Stoke player? I think he is.
He is.
Joselu. Yeah. Has just scored two goals for Real Madrid and is putting them through into the Champions League final, it looks like, against Bayern Munich. 88 minute and 91st minute, it looks like. And Bayern Munich have had a collapse of the proportions when Teddy Sheringham and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer got those goals all those years ago for Manchester United, it seems. Really, really eye-opening because say Munich had gotten that goal and now it looks like they're going out. Anyway, back to the game that we have. We would love something along those lines. Two late goals tomorrow to give us a 2-0 win, bring it to extra time or even three goals to win the game. That would absolutely do, Paddy. Impressed. But, you know, what does your heart and your head say with regards to the game tomorrow from a results point of view, Paddy?
Oh, yeah, flip-flopped over this so much over the last week. After Thursday, walking out of Villa Park, I said, this is done. It's done and dusted. Forget about it. My family holiday will be just that, a family holiday. I won't have a European final stuck in the middle of it. And then the more I think about it, yeah. I think we can, you know, it's two goals. We can score two goals. Can we keep a clean sheet? I don't know. We probably need to score three goals. And then I watched Sunday and went, oh, shit. Now, was that 90 minutes of conserving energy? I hope not. I hope it was just a blip. But it could have been a case of, don't get injured. We're going to go and get fourth place and we're going to go and go for these balls to the wall on Thursday night. I do believe we will go for them tomorrow night. I'm just hoping that we can keep that defence solid and I keep the midfield that is not overrun. And look, it's not going to be easy by any stretch of the imagination. But I do have a hope and I do believe in the back of my mind that we are more than capable of going and scoring that amount of goals.
Oh, me! No one has asked me twice whether I'm optimistic about tomorrow night. I think it's always built into my nature. I said after the game at the weekend, you know, football isn't linear, and if it was, we would have beaten the shit out of Brighton at the weekend because of the way Brighton were playing. So like anything can happen, and that's, they're all footballing cliches, you know, that we could go down the road of now. There's a high possibility that these players will never be in a position to be in the European Cup semi final again. High possibility. Like, we get to the Champions League tomorrow or next year. I would be safe in saying that we won't be in the Champions League semi-final next year. You know, if we,
I think you're safe enough in that. I also think you're safe enough in saying that there will be somebody, at least one, start the game tomorrow that won't even be in our squad come the start of the season next year, that won't get to experience Champions League football.
Yeah.
So on those grounds, you'd have to think that we will bloody well go for it and look. The last couple of games have been, I felt we were very naive against Olympiacos. I thought we were very, very poor against Brighton. There's a lot of teams that we have turned over and turned over away from home and at home. And we're well able to go and score goals. So it has to be done. You have to believe that it can be done. And look, as Soy says, Maccabi Tel Aviv went there and scored four. The one thing I did say after the game on Thursday, because it was such a roller coaster, and a big shout out to Josh, who obviously had that emergency during the game in Olympiacos, just yards from where I sat. It was a scary time for everybody, and fair play to Heidi for her quick response and ultimately saving that man's life, and fair play to everybody involved, fair play to all the crowd that got out of the way. So it was just a strange all night. So at the end of it, we just kind of stood there. There's two people stand beside me in Villa Park. I've never spoken to them in all the years that I've had a season ticket. Just never locked eyes on them. But that night, we had a good old chat after the game and we watched as Olympiacos celebrated in the corner. And I said to my son, they think they have this fucking won. And that one thing, if the players can feed off that, we saw, what's his name? Makanakis, is it the owner? Going to the crowd, high-fiving people and everything. There was a lot going on there to let me think that these guys think they have it won. And then, of course, I remembered Maccabi Tel Aviv going there and scoring four. So we're much better than Maccabi Tel Aviv. And if they treat this is won, I think we'll turn them over tomorrow night.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
For sure.
There is weaknesses in that Olympiacos team. I don't think anybody needs that pointed out. I think there is. Also, we're going to have Pau Torres back in that back line. We're going to have Emi Martinez back in goals. Yes, we're going to be down Rodgers. Maybe Zaniolo is back, actually. I didn't see him in any of the training videos. Maybe he wasn't there. But if not, I know he's somebody that fans like to be either really high on at the moment or really low on at the moment. But Moussa Diaby is a £50 million player. He's going to have to come in and earn that £50 million or put that stamp on him. And semi-finals do that to people in certain in some stages. Paddy, I'd nearly even play John Duran up top at Watkins, and I would go and hammer David Carmo, is what I would do. I would go and hammer him, make him dive into every tackle, drag him to the sideline. One thing I think that Olympiacos, and I've watched the game back a couple of times, one thing I think Olympiacos got right a lot of time was the timing of their tackles, but there were tackles of a nature that you don't get those right. You're hitting the showers. You know, there was one or two of those tackles. They were full throated, and they were grand, and they were fair. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they weren't fair. I'm not saying that there was people are probably going, what's he talking about? What tackle is he on about here? But there's a couple of them there that you skip your man. You skip past Carmo when he comes out to the sideline. You can get great joy out of him. If we're going to be missing a Morgan Rodgers, I would have no problem playing two up top and playing John Duran up top with Ollie Watkins, and allowing Watkins, if he's not getting the ball to his feet, if he's going to be kind of played out of it like he was against Brighton, allowing him to drop a small a bit deeper, maybe pull out onto the wing, maybe do what Troy Deeney said he was, a winger turned striker, and try and win his own ball, and yet still have somebody that can go in centrally that's a big brute of a man like John Duran. If we're really going to go for it, I think that we will see that at some stage tomorrow. Unlikely from the start, but like, you know, if we want to get that early goal and put the shits under them, that's the I would go like that. But then again, I don't have whatever 4 European Cups under my belt like Unai Emery, and I would imagine he's going to go with Diaby and Bailey, and I'm not even sure who else he goes with there. Then after that, with Morgan Rodgers being out. And like the Callum Chambers isn't registered, so
just named, yeah.
Yeah, he can't be registered, so he can't be named there. So we could see a lot of young names on this bench again, because let's not forget we had Finlay Munro, who got sent off during the week in under 21 action. We had Caden Young, Omari Kellyman. What does he do there? I think it's a John Duran situation. If Nicolas Zaniolo isn't fit, I think he goes with Duran over young Tim, and I'm there. I'm all for it.
Well, I think we just got to trust whatever he decides to do now. He's obviously not got his full complement. We've had an amazing season. If he pulls this off, he's going to be one hell of a legend to get us to a European final from the position we're in. And look back at the history of everything he's done, and let's face it, Villarreal getting as far as they did in that competition was a miracle as well, and a miracle performed by Unai Emery. So we have to believe. Until this time tomorrow night, I will still believe. But I am still a little bit just deflated after what I sat through the last couple of games. But we've shown that we could pick them apart on Thursday night. We could score goals. We came back into the game very, very well. And look, we just need to start from the start and keep them on the back foot. The first goal is absolutely vital. I'd much prefer to have to get a 2-0 win to get it to extra time than have to go and find a third one if they came back into it. So we just got to wait and see what he picks. I don't envisage a bolter. When I say a bolter, I don't mean one of the young lads won't be coming in there. I can't envisage them starting an Omari Kellyman. Yes, I think there could be a young Tim. Yes, I think there could be a John Duran, just for the fact that he will absolutely annoy the shit out of them and they won't know how to deal with him. So, as you say, the fullback there, I think he could have a nightmare if he sees John Duran starting there to tip off the ball.
Yeah, me too. Now, there's also the other thing. I think if this was if it was 4-3 in the last game, we weren't chasing two goals. I think he starts with Kanza right back. He starts with Carlos and Pau Dina the other side. Plays Cash then further forward then in that right midfield role like he did against Brighton. Outside of the Burnley game, I think that's been a bit unconvincing for Aston Villa this season. We just haven't had that massive attacking impetus, even though I did, as soon as Matty Cash came on, I did back him to score at any time straight away. But alas, I don't think he even had a shot at the weekend. But, you know,
he did.
If you're going,
he came the closest, I think. He's flashed one past the post. Oh, that's probably the closest we came to scoring. Yeah. He nearly hit me with it, sure.
You need to get your seat 4 or 5 for get it moved in the off season, moving in behind the goals, Paddy, and then we'll have
that was the away game.
it was against Brighton. Yeah, of course it was.
Brighton he did.
I think, you know, if he's gonna go for that too, like if Villa get the first goal, regardless of the kind of the pedigree or the experience, the European experience that the Olympiacos have, Villa get the first goal, I think it will be game on. You know, get an early goal, I think it will be game on. And we may not win this game at all. We may not go through tomorrow night, should I say. But I think we will go to Piraeus and we will win tomorrow. I think there's going to be shithousery out the back gate in this team tomorrow. I think there's going to be Ireland versus Israel back in whatever 2005 levels of shithousery with people going down off the ball and stuff like that tomorrow, because Olympiacos have never been in a final before. So expect that. If you aren't expecting it or it didn't cross your mind, I'm telling you now, expect absolutely the dark arts will be going all over the place tomorrow in Piraeus. But I think we get an early goal. It forces them to do that. And if this guy in the middle doesn't take any of that shite like he didn't in the Celtic and Atletico Madrid game, well, then that could play into our favour as well. So, it's all to be seen tomorrow. But there should be a hint of optimism. You know, we've had an absolutely great game, but there should also be a bit of pessimism in the same time that the team is running on fumes at the moment and we have a lot of injuries, plus the fact that we have injuries in similar positions whereby we just really don't know who our other winger is going to be at all tomorrow. So it's going to be interesting from that point of view, and we will be back with a team sheet tantrum at 10-7
hopefully. We'll get home from work.
Okay, there we go. So we'll have a team sheet tantrum tomorrow, and we will also do final match post-match podcast regardless of what happens. And semi-finals, that's what they're here for. There's always going to be a winner, there's always going to be a loser. As I said before, semi-finals are probably the hardest one to lose in, because you'll always go, geez, I wonder what would have happened when you have that one shot in the final, you know, that one go in the final to see if you can win. You never know what can happen, but in the semi-final, when you lose specifically over two legs, it must be gut punch completely for the team. As I said, they aren't done yet, and the fat lady hasn't sung. So, join us again tomorrow for the team sheet tantrum to see who.
Best of luck to our friends Mark and Emma, who are off in the morning. There's a few discrepancies in their travel that they're a little bit worried about, and I hope it all works out for you. And have a great day, and I hope the lads can do it for you and make it even more special trip to Athens.
Yeah, I think, yeah, absolutely, 100%. And I don't know, is he back in Ireland yet? Is Spud back in, or sorry, is he in Birmingham at the moment? Did I see him in the comments there a moment ago?
He sent me a picture of himself in the Aston Inn with a pint of Magners, pint bottle of Magners, about 3 o'clock this afternoon. So good luck to him. I hope he has a great few days.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, we're chatting about Spud. Has been on the podcast a couple of times. He's based down in Australia, and it was the week that COVID shut down the whole country, he had flown over for a game, and this is his first game back, if I'm not mistaken, Paddy, isn't it?
And he missed the game was cancelled, and he was in a scramble to get back to Australia to his family. So he managed to get the all clear to go to this one and the time off work and everything, and then the match was moved to Monday, and then he somehow managed to change his flight back from Monday to Tuesday to get home after the game. So best of luck to him. I hope he has a great weekend.
Absolutely. And if you catch him in around Birmingham as well, buy him a pint because he's one of the good guys, for sure. Absolutely one of the good guys. Now, my coughing fit has dissipated, but I still have to think, I still think it's a good time to end the podcast, Paddy, because I could ramble on about this. I'm a bit excited about tomorrow, but even scoreline pending and everything like that. So I think we'll leave it at that, Paddy. Yeah, so join us again tomorrow about 10 to 7. If there's any changes in that, we'll keep an eye out on social media. But 10 to 7 tomorrow, we will be here with a team sheet tantrum. Yeah, we'll see if Aston Villa can pull this one out of the bag and send us to a cup final and send us back to Athens, even though not everyone will be in Athens tomorrow. Send us back to Athens in a couple of weeks' time for a European Cup final, which would be something that would be absolutely massive. It would be far past our wildest dreams only 18 months ago. So we'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Yeah. In the meantime, stay safe, stay healthy, and all that's left to say is up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
Podcast Network.